Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I'm John Batchelor with James Scott, the author of the new book, Black Snow, Curtis LeMay, The Firebombing of Tokyo, and The Road to the Atomic Bomb. Heywood Hansell is in place. The 20th Air Force consists of 2 bomber commands, the 20th and the 21st. They're launching Thanksgiving 1944 and early December to Christmas 1944 are the early launching of the B-29 strategic bombing, 25,000 feet, pressurized cabin. James, the puzzle here is that you introduce that it doesn't work for a very simple thing, weather. How so, James?
Well, Japan is as an island nation out of the Pacific, it has notoriously cloudy, rainy weather. And so some months, and of course, if you're doing daylight precision bombing, you need to see in order to be able to put your bombs on target. And in Japan, in some months, has as little as 3 days of clear weather. And the ability to predict those days is a near impossibility. And so you've got this terrible weather for bombing. And then on top of that, they discover that high up in the heavens over Japan are these crazy violent jet streams where winds blow as much as 230 miles per hour. I mean, those are like the winds that batter Mount Everest. And of course, that the bad weather and the jet streams just combine to completely wreck bomber accuracy. And so those are two of the problems that Hansell faces. Another one that he has is the B-29 is a brand new plane. And as you noted earlier, it's an incredibly expensive gamble that Arnold has taken. It cost $3.7 billion to develop this plane. That's actually more than the atomic bomb. And unlike the B-17, which is sort of the dominant workhorse in the European theater, where America actually had benefited from the fact that the B-17 had been around for several years before the war began. So we had time to work out all the kinks of the B-17 so that by the time the war begins, we've got a reliable platform. The B-29 rolls out of the first factories in 1944 and goes straight into combat. And so, of course, with any new technology, particularly something as sophisticated as the B-29, it's got lots of glitches. And one of the big problems are engine fires. And these are tremendously long missions. I mean, a round trip flight from the Mariana Islands to Tokyo is over 3,000 miles. To put that in perspective, a bomber crew in Europe could take off from England, bomb Berlin, and come back, and it's only 1,500 miles. So it's literally, that's just one way to Tokyo. So you've got bad weather, you've got jet streams, you've got a sophisticated new plane that has engine fires, and you've got tremendous vast distances all over water. Okay, so if you get engine problems or if you take flak or fighter damage, there's nowhere for you to put down. You've got this dark, forbidding ocean there. And so these are just some of the many pressures that are building up on Heywood Hansell at this point.
The strategic bombing aiming at the war industry, the first missions, they're called San Antonio 2 and 3, 1, 2, and 3. These are the operation names. Are against the manufacturing outside of Tokyo. And the disappointment is, though they have radar, though they know where the plants are, they miss them. I think that first raid only destroyed 1% of the Nakajima aircraft factory, which is turning out an enormous amount of aircraft engines every day. And they're also fighting the fighters that are still available to come up after them. My note says they had 150 anti-aircraft guns available and searchlights. So the B-29s take a pounding right away, especially from the Japanese air defense. At this point, daylight precision bombing, is it a debate here in late 44? Does that emerge after the frustration?
Yeah, the daylight precision bombing had been actually, it was the strategy we'd used all through Europe. And of course, the English, the British had been pressuring us to abandon that and come over and firebomb cities. And we had, our American commanders in Europe had really resisted that. And so those pressures were on Hansel early on as well, that, you know, Japan, I mean, look, it's hard not to watch German cities burn and think, huh, would this work against Japanese cities like Tokyo and Nagoya and Osaka? But Hansel was a true believer in the high altitude daylight precision bombing. And these early raids, as you know, were against the aircraft manufacturing companies around Tokyo and Nagoya, because America was trying to wipe out Japan's ability to replenish its air forces. And that way we would own the skies, because these on these long bombing missions, they can't take fighter escorts with them. So the bombers, the only defense these bombers have is their formation and their guns. And so the early missions are all designed to knock out Japan's aircraft industry to give America control of the skies. And of course, they simply don't work. And the Japanese realize very quickly what the targets are we're after. They start moving their fighters into that area. They move their anti-aircraft guns. And it makes it so that these B-29s coming in over and over and over again against Tokyo and Nagoya just start taking a pounding. I mean, so much so that the airmen call that strip of that between Tokyo and Nagoya, they call it Flak Alley, because all the guns are now centralized in that area to target them.
My memory is that at one point, Haparnell asks Hansel, how long will it take you to wreck them? And he says, give me 6 weeks. And that's a ridiculous amount of time to Arnold. He doesn't have the time. Pressuring him right now. The Navy has been bogged down in the Philippines. And the Battle of Leyte Gulf is a qualified failure. The two typhoons that hit the Navy, the Task Force 58, stay its hand for the ability to project power into Japan. That will come. But ahead of everyone is Iwo Jima and Okinawa, and the understanding that the Japanese are ready to die in place. So the pressure is you've got to produce results now, because otherwise the Army is going to take over the Army Air Force, and they're going to turn you into their target. So the Navy's going to take you over and turn you into their targets, which means the airfields or the fleet. So all of this is weighing on Hansel and Haparnell at this point. So final minute of this segment, James, I want to establish this debate about strategic bombing from altitude and firebombing that the British conduct against Germany. It goes to the highest level of leadership, right? Marshall and FDR himself and Leahy, his chief of staff, they believe in strategic bombing at this point. Is that correct, James?
Yeah, they're pretty hands-off for the most part. They really kind of leave that to Arnold and to the air service on how best to execute the war. But that has been the strategy all along. But you do begin to see a shift. I mean, you do look, FDR approves the atomic bomb, you know, the development of the bomb, of course, right, which is a $2 billion bomb. There's no way that's a strategic pinpoint type weapon. I mean, that is a city wrecking weapon. So they're open to these changes.
All right. Let's go to Curtis LeMay then, James. Here comes the change. The book is Black Snow, Curtis LeMay, The Firebombing of Tokyo and the Road to the Atomic Bomb. When we come back, meet Curtis LeMay. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.